Episode 351, March 12th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
From radio, oh, 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 now in a closet studio, oh, 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 they are Rob and Joe. All the listeners in the chat room, they make Rob mad, 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 but when they slurp our producer, oh, you know it makes them glad. Girls that Joe loves so, they're all too young to vote. He wants them. Oh, time to his bedpost. Oh,
you know, it's times like this, Joe, where it's back to reality for me. You know, I spent Friday night and Saturday night with an A-list movie star, superstar at the Borgata and the Warner Theater, the Tiffany Haddish, and now here I am in your townhouse in Millersville, Maryland, with Joe Robinson. It's just,
but this isn't the bottom of the barrel for you, what you're doing now.
Tomorrow night is worse. So.
What are you doing tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night I'm at Wits End with Eric Woodworth and Mickey Coachella.
Yeah, that is way worse. I mean, I think about this, like this studio with all this great equipment, great sound, blah, blah, blah. This is, I mean, maybe there was a time when we were over Skype staring at our laptop, but now this is a different animal. But I think about that because, you know, here you are, you're on Comedy Central, and then the next night you're in, you know, the basement of the fucking Bethesda Hyatt, you know.
Yeah.
And then the next night you're with Tiffany Haddish in the, you know, at the Borgata, and then you're at Charlestown with John Yeager.
I mean, yeah,
it's... That's gotta take its toll on you.
Well, even in the very beginning of my comedy career, if you will, you know, early on, I got this gig with the Washington Capitals where I would be their game host, and I would, you know, MC intermission contests on the ice, throughout TV timeouts, be in the crowd, do trivia on the Jumbotron, and you know, it's not like I'm doing stand up, but I am talking and performing in one fashion in front of, you know, 10 to 18,000 people, depending on the show. And then I would leave there and drive to Winchester, Virginia, and then the next day deliver pizza for Domino's. So,
yeah. Yeah, you've always had perspective.
Yeah.
So one week you are, or actually probably on Sunday, was it Sunday your show with Tiffany Haddish?
Friday and Saturday night.
So Saturday you're in front of thousands of people at the Warner Theater with Tiffany Haddish, and then on Monday morning, are you making calls for driver improvement classes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There it is.
So not much has changed.
No. And it is, I'm getting to the end of the road with that.
Oh, well, I'll look at you, money bags.
No, it's just, I don't, like the last time I taught, which has been almost 2 months now, I got in pretty big trouble for letting them out early. It was a big talking to, and I'm just burnt out. I just can't. It's hard to fake it for this long.
You sound like Mike talking about his magic shows.
He doesn't like doing his magic shows?
It's a drain.
The magic is
he's
gone.
He's been doing it longer than Rob's been doing driver improvement.
Well, he can learn new magic tricks. I can't learn
the laws are the same. You still got to hold your arm out straight for a left turn and to hold it up in the air for a right.
Well, we need to get Chamberlain on then.
Yeah, let's kind of walk him through this.
Okay.
Can we maybe we can get some sort of therapist on to talk to him?
About... How about a hypnotist?
Yeah.
To try to hypnotize him into being okay. Does he want to stop doing magic, or does he want to appreciate it again?
He would love to be doing directing and theater full time.
But do you think his wife married him because she was marrying a magician or some local theater director?
What difference does it make?
I think that was sort of the joke. What is this, Twitter?
Nobody gets it.
But it's the magic that brings in the money, obviously.
Oh, I mean, obviously. There's
$100 from that to fucking public library isn't going to fucking make itself.
You don't have any clue what he makes. He makes a lot more than that when he does a show.
Well, he needs to do more shows then.
Does he make as much money? By the way, why am I asking this question? He doesn't make as much money at some kid's shitty birthday party as we do doing the DC Improv.
Yes, he does.
No. What? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't, Robbie.
Well, he doesn't get into magic.
Oh, I'm saying you're talking about all of Die Laughing Productions. Of course not.
So he makes as much as Rob and I make doing that.
Correct.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's he makes decent money. You're right, but it's about how many shows can he book in a week.
Does he work like Wednesday day?
Yeah, the problem is he works three times a year.
Yeah, no. He works. He has magic all the time. But yes, weekends are obviously a lot.
Most magicians do. The magic just flows through them.
Is he good enough to get a Vegas residency, Robbie?
Yeah, no.
What about a residency here at the Maryland Live or the Horseshoe or the MGM National Harbor?
He would have to invest in some larger tricks. You know, he does a lot of walk-around magic. He does a lot of these gigs where he goes to a shopping center and they hire him to walk around, you know, at an opening. And
find coins behind people's ears.
Exactly, that kind of thing.
He doesn't have a look either for a residency magician.
I was at the Pizza Hut one time. It was probably 10 years ago. It might even have been more than that. And some fucking guy walked up to my table and started making me try to find his card. And I'm like, dude. I don't fucking want you here. I mean, wait till you are kind of invited into this little, you know, I'm eating pizza with my boys, right? Yeah. I don't want you here to have me find the Queen of Spades. I don't want that.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. We just recorded a bonus show, so look for that soon, patrons. It's another good one.
I want to make sure that the people in our inner circle are Patreons.
Yeah.
I need to make sure they know the deal because there's a lot of content in there that could get me and you in trouble.
Really?
So be respectful of that. Obviously, you're paying for it. You are in our inner circle. Make sure that what you hear stays there. It's like what happens in Vegas. What happens in Patreon stays in Patreon.
Circle of trust. Now, you got us a new Patreon from being recognized this weekend, Joe.
I was actually recognized not from, I sent you a picture. There's an episode of Tenacious D where they have one fan and they're so excited about that fan, they start stalking the fan. It's the opposite. Anyway, but this guy said, hey, Joe Robinson. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'm a fan of the podcast. And he started telling me all these things about Scott Apple, he mentioned. He really was, right?
Nice.
So he wasn't the one that recognized me. His buddy recognized me because there's Joe Robinson. So I actually had two fans there.
That's amazing.
But the one fan, he couldn't have been that big a fan because he said, how do I give you guys money?
He didn't know how to do the Patreon?
I said, here's the deal. You don't give us money. You pay for content. And I sent him the link. And then I sent you a picture of this guy. And you go, is that... And you said his name, Jesse.
Yeah, it's a new Patreon.
And I go, yeah, I thought you knew him. Like, oh, big deal. He knows everybody. But no, you knew it because he had just signed up to be a Patreon. And you saw that. Oh, that's cool. All right.
Super cool.
Shout out to Jesse. I'm sure he's listening. Right?
I'm sure he is with his buddy.
Yeah.
Well, you have another story from that night.
Yeah. God, this is. So if you know me, like there are shows that I love, like The Office, like Curb Your Enthusiasm. There are some times where I'm like, fuck it. I'm out. I get so uncomfortable. the big one, there was the one on the other day on The Office is when Michael, you know, 10 years before, he promised this class of, I guess, underprivileged kids that he would pay for their college. And
if they got good grades, and then they all got good grades.
And they were called Scott's Tots, and they were doing fucking songs and flips, and he had to tell them that he didn't have any money. So that's the kind of shit I cannot watch.
Okay. That's my favorite thing.
So... there's a guy walking through a bar. You've seen a million times. He's selling flowers.
Yep.
Okay. And my friend, former landlord, Dave, he says to the guy, he goes, how much? And the guy selling the flowers goes, for what? Now, Dave's like, well, the flowers you have, right? So I go, that guy usually, he also blows people. So he didn't know which one you wanted, right? So just made a joke, just an offhanded remark, right?
Yeah.
Just made a joke. So the guy comes around and goes, this time asking for a blowjob. Now, it's a joke. I don't want it to happen. I don't want to see it. Guy walks around. He goes, how much? Guy goes, it's $10. So he didn't say the same thing. He goes, no. How much for a blowjob? As soon as he said that, I took off. Now, everybody I know is right there, and I fucking took off. Now, apparently, English was not his first language. Mm-hmm. So he just put up his hand. He's like, no, no, no. You know, like, that's not what I do. And he walked away. But I got... It's funny to hear it now, but to be standing there when he asked this poor flower salesman for a blowjob, that was not a fun time for me.
I think it sounds like a great time.
Well, now, yes, you're hearing it secondhand.
Yes.
If you're there, would you have said, well, how much? No, you're not? All right, we'll take the flowers.
Well, I mean, I think $100 just seems like a normal price, right?
It was $10 for the flowers. It was $100 for...
Yeah.
Not according... If you watch Cops, blowjobs are like $5.
What if it's the other way around? What if Dave wants to blow him? Is it the same price?
It depends on, I guess, his affinity for men or women,
yeah,
right? Because, by the way, the women who will blow you for $5...
They're missing some teeth.
They're missing a lot.
They don't look like Julia Roberts. Okay?
Or Eric Roberts.
Or Eric Woodworth.
Yes, there we go. Ba-dum-bum.
There's some good Eric Woodworth content on the bonus show.
Oh, good
so
stuff.
If you are
good stuff, yeah. Happy birthday to Scott Berkson this past week.
Oh, that's the guy who blew it with Tiffany Haddish.
Yep, that's the guy. Yeah. So he could have been, whatever. On his page, I said, have you seen Blazing Saddles? And, of course, that's the movie he loaned me, and I still haven't watched. And
you said that to him?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. It's pretty funny. Also, Rob Spiewak. Happy birthday to Rob Spiewak this past week. And it occurred to me that people giving me movies is so far not a good gift.
Well, what did he give you, a DVD?
Well, he loaned it to me, yes.
Well, that's a way shittier gift or whatever. I mean, do you even have a DVD player?
Well,
I don't think I do. I don't think
a Blu-ray can play a DVD. So.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to say, I mean, I guess you could, does this computer that you're on, does that have
I have a C drive adapter.
Right,
I
got you.
Yes, I can, but.
Seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of work. But you, of course, gave me MoviePass, and I finally saw Black Panther.
Did you use MoviePass?
I forgot.
He forgot?
Yeah. Okay, this is what happened. So Tawanda calls me the middle of the day Thursday, unexpectedly, saying, hey, I'm not enjoying myself here at work today. I want to get it early. There's a 2:00 showing at Snowden.
Hold on. She's not enjoying herself. Who cares? I mean, just because you don't enjoy yourself at work.
She's having a particularly frustrating day. She wants to bail. Okay. And she goes, hey, can we do 2:00? And I say, okay. So I look up the thing. So it's happening in real time. And I just buy the tickets on my phone. And then I realize, oh, wait a minute. I have the MoviePass thing. But then I'd already paid. And I was like, okay, we'll just worry about it another time. So we saw Black Panther, and no movie pass was used.
I mean, again, I don't feel bad about this. I don't. It doesn't, like, I'm not mad, none of that. I mean, we said this before, I don't want to rehash it. You got a good gift for me.
Yeah.
If you choose not to use it, that's really a Rob thing. You know
what
I mean?
I'm not choosing not to use it.
Well, no, that's time you did.
Well, no, I forgot, because this has happened just out of nowhere. She's like, and I was like, okay. And it wasn't like, oh, let's go to a movie, and I thought about it and planned it. It was sprung on me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think you're going to get mad at some point.
Why would
now
I get
Now I'm feeling
mad?
The pressure. I'm feeling this gift pressure.
Why would I get mad?
You know what? I don't want any gifts anymore. No more gifts.
Well, now here's the other thing. Like, you're going to give me this five-plated clothing T-shirt. It's supposed to arrive any day.
Yes. It may have arrived today. Did you check the mail?
Yeah, I did check the mail.
Damn it.
No.
Because Chris said he mailed it like Wednesday or Thursday. By the way, then 2 days later, he asked me for your address again. And I go, by the way, it's in the Facebook Messenger. It's scroll right up. It's right there. And I said, okay, what do you need? I thought you already mailed the shirt. He goes, no, I just want to have it. So he
won't.
I don't know.
That's weird.
That's weird for you. It's fun for me.
I don't like that. What do you mean he wants to have it? What, why?
He said, yeah, I mailed it. I wanted to save the address. Sorry, been out of it. Just came from a funeral. So.
Hey, how's it going?
I wonder who died. Hey, Robbie, can we call Chris and ask him who died?
No. I don't want to talk about that. His buddy died of heroin or meth or something.
Oh, yeah, let's call him.
No, let's not talk.
Let's call
him. Let's ask him why he wanted your address again.
Okay, that's fine, but can I
don't
bring
want to bring up the funeral.
Yeah, come Robbie, on. Call
that's
him.
Sad. Well, his buddy all died. Right. Come on.
How close to could it be? Really
he went to the funeral. He posted about it. I mean, what?
Oh, I saw that suit. By the way, he was dressed like a pimp for the funeral.
What's he going to wear? Let's just ask him about why he wanted your address.
The funeral might come up. Go ahead. Give him a call, Robbie. Well, I also want to ask him why he thinks Jeremy's blowing up like Kevin Hart.
Yes.
That, of course. Unless reference to the bonus show, by the way. You got to listen to the bonus show if you want to hear.
Yeah. Jeremy is Eric Weber's brother. Who has nothing in common with Kevin Hart's career.
Knowing Robbie, he's calling Sean Young.
Oh, we wish. Yeah. She's blowing up like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, this is a lot like when we work on the murder mystery and Robbie has to do something that's not in the script.
Yeah. You think you should have him on speed dial or something?
You know, he's good at getting those drops out. You know,
he knows those. Yeah. He loves those. Yeah. I'm just upset that the T-shirt's not here yet because...
Well, that's the first thing we're going to ask him about.
Do you think he screwed it up? I mean, he forgot to put a stamp on it or something?
No, I think that he probably...
He didn't put enough postage on it?
The most likely thing is that he didn't send it, and he said that he did.
So you think he lied?
Well, I mean, maybe he said, I plan on sending it out. I didn't. Let me just say I did. Also, the shirt might not exist. That's not a 0%.
He showed me a picture of it.
He did? Yeah. How did it look?
I showed it to you.
Did it say never estimated on it?
Yes, I literally showed it to you on the air.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Oh, great. He said, I need the address again for Joe's. This is Friday. He called me, too. I said, I thought you mailed it. I gave it to him again. He says, I did. Because, yeah, I mailed it. I just wanted to save the address. So I don't know what's going on with him. Anyway, we're moving on. So
till the phone starts
ringing. Well, one of the things that you said this week, you met someone, Joe, that doesn't know their sign.
Oh, yeah.
Their zodiac sign.
I've talked about that so many times. I actually, yesterday I had dinner with Katie's parents, and I said to them, I go, hey, you know, I met somebody that didn't know their sign. They were like, you know, you already told us that. I'm starting to repeat.
Yeah, that sounds like something I do as well. How did this come up if they didn't know their sign?
So I overheard it. So we've mentioned friend Erica many times on the show. Yeah. She has a friend, and it's her friend's sister. She's at college at Penn State nursing. That's what she's doing.
I wouldn't have guessed it was a female that didn't know. I would have thought a male for sure.
Of course, yeah. But, I mean, how old is she? Might be 22. I mean, she was in a bar.
She's
so.
An adult.
Yeah. And they were talking. And she goes, I don't know. I don't know what my sign is. I think it might be a blah, blah, blah. And, of course, you know me. I immediately latched on. I go, wait a minute. You don't know your sign? She goes, no. I think I had heard it at one point. And I was thinking, pretty much everybody knows their sign. You don't have to believe in it.
Right.
But at some point, somebody tells you your sign.
Well, we were trying to guess, just in America, who doesn't know their sign? One out of how many people won't know?
Well, let me jump. I want to know which one's more likely as well as that probability. The very next day, I brought tuna fish to work. I don't know if you noticed. I'm losing weight.
I haven't noticed.
But I brought tuna fish to work, and I didn't have anything to eat it on. I said, hey, is anybody going to Shoppers? And one of my workers said, yeah, I am going. I go, hey, can you pick me up some Triscuits? She goes, what are those? As soon as she said, I go, you don't know what it, now she's, I think she's 24. I go, you don't know what a Triscuit is? She goes, I've never heard of it. You've never heard of a Triscuit? I go, it's a cracker. It kind of looks like it's woven a little bit. It's with shredded wheat of something. Never heard of it. I go, what fucking cracker have you heard of, right? I mean, is a saltine, I guess, maybe a Ritz, but Triscuit's got to be up there in the top. Have you heard of goldfish? Like, right. I don't know where Triscuit lies, but it's got to be in the top four crackers.
Well, then we got into the Mount Rushmore of crackers.
Yeah, we're getting way ahead in this conversation.
Okay, but let's stay on the cracker thing for a second.
Okay.
So you had said it was Triscuit, Wheat Thins, Saltines, Ritz.
That's what I said, yes.
And then I mentioned Cheez-Its and animal crackers, and I mentioned graham crackers.
Hold on. Hello?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, Chris or Steve-O?
Not so much. Just had to bury a friend recently.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, man. Sorry to hear that, man.
I've been upset lately.
No, dude, we're sorry to hear that. What we were calling about is, well, you're on the air, by the way. The T-shirt, is it? Did you send it already?
Yeah, I already sent it.
When did you mail it?
It should be there by tomorrow.
Okay. Really looking forward to it.
I definitely mailed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I gave you the address, and then you wanted it again. Did you lose it or something?
I got it.
Okay, but did you send it on Friday, or did you send it the first time I gave you the address?
I think it was Friday or Saturday. I don't know.
All right.
All right, cool, man. Hey, how long ago did your friend pass?
He died on Friday night, actually.
Jeez, dude. Sorry to hear that. And this was a good friend.
Wait a minute. Another person died? Because you posted last week somebody died. This is another death.
Yeah, fentanyl overdose.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, how are you liking your new apartment?
I like it.
Are you gonna have a get together?
Maybe. I gotta try to get over this my friend dying.
No, I understand.
How long do you think something like that's gonna hang over you?
I really can't even say.
All right, well,
I really can't even say, because the fucked up part is he was supposed to come over to my house, I went out with another friend, and it was the same night he died.
So instead of going out with you, you don't think it had anything to do with you not going out with him? He was depressed that his friend didn't want to see him?
Not your fault. It's not your fault, Chris.
Chris, deaths always happen in threes. You might be expecting another.
Jeez, Robbie.
Come on, stop
Robbie.
It.
Jesus,
stop.
Man.
Hey, you might get Kirk Cousins, the Viking, so that's good,
right? You're excited about that?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I kind of want Keenum to sign again with them, but...
Right.
Free agency, I think they're holding out to get the cheapest deal or get a price on the cheapest free agent.
Would that cheer you up, Chris?
Maybe.
All right.
But,
so
still not going to replace a friend.
No, I got you. But obviously, look, I've lost close loved ones. I have close friends. I lost a friend in the TWA 800 crash. I lost a friend to cancer. I lost a friend to a car accident. I did.
We lost Eric the actor, one of our great listeners.
Oh, yeah. So it's, but... you bounce back, right? You live life. Your friend would have wanted that, right? He would have wanted you to...
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So I'm sure that at least a signing of Kirk Cousins might at least put you in a mindset to where you're ready to have this party.
Maybe. I broke up with my girlfriend. A friend died. Like,
jeez.
I'm fucking broke now.
Why are you broke?
Got an apartment.
He's got to pay that rent.
Because...
Do you have a roommate?
She got involved with...
Okay.
No, just by myself.
Okay.
But, my girlfriend got involved with a lot of different drugs, and, she was fucking around on me, so it wasn't right. There's a lot more to that story, but I'm not going
to get You don't need to get into that, Chris. It's not our business.
Well, what do you want him to get into?
No. Yeah.
Can you leave us with a little tennis ball, Chris?
That would be nice.
Yeah, something to cheer us up.
Okay. There you go.
A little more. Give us Donald Trump and Barack Obama playing tennis together.
No,
you got it in you. Come on.
I'm writing.
He doesn't feel well.
Speech, actually.
What?
I'm gonna.
They're having you. You're speaking at the funeral.
I'm writing a speech for a friend. Yeah.
All right. You want to do a little bit with us so we can see how it is?
Is there a tennis ball in the speech?
No, I'm gonna get really emotional if I do.
All right, Robert De Niro.
Give us
impressions of the speech.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of more impressions. It'll cheer you up.
I don't want to.
It'll cheer you up.
Right now. I just.
Why are you broke, by the way? Because of the crash of Bitcoin.
What happened?
Bitcoin's bouncing back, baby.
It is.
It's hanging in there.
Where is it right now?
It'd be like 95 or something. 9. I don't know.
Bitcoin's bouncing back, and so will you, Chris.
There you go.
Bitcoin's at 9,231.61.
Hey, how about that for an exact answer?
What do you own it at?
I don't own Bitcoin. I own the alt currencies. I got Ethereum, Ripple, one called Syndicator, which is like a portfolio management thing for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was doing great. I had about $3,000 I made off it. Now I lost about $2,000. So yeah,
you still got a grand.
That's friggin' hey, crypto.
Chris, we talked earlier. We want to involve you in a game. We want you to paint a famous person, and then see if Joe and I can guess who it is. Don't tell us who it is.
Yeah, don't tell us who it is. And it has to be a famous person that we know. It can't be, you know, some obscure, you know, but rapper that we've never heard
of. It can't be anybody you do an impression of that we already know, or Robert De Niro, anybody like that. But somebody famous that you don't, like not Matthew McConaughey, but somebody like that.
Yeah. You can't do Matthew McConaughey now that he said the name.
But, but somebody like that.
I'm not playing this gay shit, no.
What gay shit? What?
She's married to a baseball player.
What?
What?
And she's got huge tits. She was in Sports Illustrated.
Who are you talking to?
What are you talking about?
The chick.
Who is? What chick? We want you to paint a famous person.
You said you had to guess it.
No. We literally, you were going to paint it, and we're going to look at it. Paint.
Wait. What do you mean gay shit?
Oh, I told you.
Here's what we want you to do.
She's talking about Matthew McConaughey and some nasty shit.
What? No. Paint a picture of a famous person.
Okay.
Don't you have men on your wall right now?
No.
You don't have
you
do. De Niro?
You have a picture. We saw it. You have
Ray Liotta?
Yes, I saw it. You do.
I have a fucking mural of the mafia.
Right.
Yes, that's right. What we want.
Chris, stop. Just listen to us for a second. What we want you to do is paint a picture. It's got to be paint. This is the bet Rob and I have. Of a celebrity. Whoever, the celebrity of your choice.
Give me a woman if you want.
Yeah, if you want to be a woman. If you think painting a picture of a man is gay somehow, then if you're not, then paint a picture of a girl. Okay? If that offends your sensibilities, don't do it. But paint it. Rob and I have a bet. I believe that I will be able to see that painting and know and identify who it is.
And I don't think I'll be able to.
Rob
I
says
thought,
he won't.
I thought you were talking about, like, paint a picture in your mind of this person we have yet.
No.
Paint a picture in your mind of fucking Matthew McConaughey.
Yes. Okay, who is Chris having sex with right now?
Hold on. Give me a second, Chris. I'm currently imagining you fucking Owen Wilson.
Wait, is Tommy Simbazo famous? I don't know. All right, Chris. Well, so get on that painting, okay?
Little Joe Pesci for us.
Yeah, Little Pesci. Come on.
I got
just something for us.
I got
He's too depressed to do Pesci. All Give him a break. All right, dude.
Sorry about your loss.
Looking for that shirt.
Yep. See you, bud.
Okay. All right, see you, buddy.
Later.
All right, there's no way he mailed it on Friday. I'd have it.
No, it's Monday. He could have mailed it Friday night.
It has to travel 10 miles.
Yeah, you're right.
It'd be here.
Well, he said he mailed it Wednesday. So this is, so when he asked for the address again, he lied to me.
It might not even be in the mail. It might not even go on.
Do you think it'll get here tomorrow?
No, I don't. I'll bet you on that.
Yeah, okay.
There's no way it's coming tomorrow.
Now he's like, oh shit, I gotta mail this thing.
Yeah, I'm losing confidence.
Did you hear that tennis ball was pathetic?
Yeah, it was the saddest of all the tennis balls. No.
Hey, if he doesn't mail this shirt, we're going on Judge Judy.
I'm willing to make a bet with you. And I will bet that it's not here. What's a good bet by tomorrow?
No, I think it'll be here by... Look. Okay, if he didn't mail it at all, then he'll mail it... Well,
I'll bet it's not here by Thursday, but I need odds. Thursday?
No, I bet it's here by Wednesday, just straight up.
I bet you don't get it this week.
All right, I'm good by Wednesday. I'll go straight up. What do you want to bet?
I don't know. $20.
You just gave me $20.
No, I will go and drive to his house, pick it up
for
and
$20.
Bring it over.
All right, well, it'd be worth it. Yeah. Now it'll take. You said it was a $35 shirt, right?
$32.
Jesus.
All right, Wednesday. We'll keep you posted. Rob and Joe will be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
returning for one night only, Friday, March 16th at Jam and Java in Vienna. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
And also, Chris, sorry about your dead friend.
Sorry about that. Come on, Joe.
Second dead friend in like a handful of days.
So a shout out to Jim Amato, Dirk Vastrick. Excellent job this week on Omericast. Thank you for the kind words, gentlemen. I much appreciate it.
We talk extensively about something they discussed on the show, on the bonus show.
We'll get into some of that on this show as well. It is sort of. But, you know, Jim does this great thing where he reads, goes to my website and talks about my upcoming dates, and then he mentions how you haven't updated your site in 2 years. I mean, we do have murder mysteries you could put on there. What's the problem?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, I don't update because I don't drive traffic to it. I have the Die Laughing. Every show that I do is on there. If I do stand up, it's not anything. Like, I don't go to clubs and try to get stand up work anymore.
Why don't we link your website to the Die Laughing?
Well, why would we? If they're already at Die Laughing, they already have every show that I'm doing.
If they hear you on the radio, you know, they want to find where they can see you.
Oh,
they
I see what
they
you're
don't
saying.
Remember the name of the company. Maybe they go to your website.
Okay, so Robbie. That's going to be a Robbie thing. It's the last thing you're ever going to have to do on my website. Can you have the schedule linked to the Die Laughing schedule?
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
And I think it might already be there, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that I do other than the Rob and Joe Show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah. Well, occasionally, I think the last thing I put on there was that you were doing the post game for the Ravens.
Yeah,
and Die Laughing Productions, and I think I mentioned the Rob and Joe Show. I think that's all.
You're right. My website makes it look like I'm not happening. When meanwhile, I'm as happening as I've ever had.
Exactly. So let's fix that.
All right, done.
All right, so crackers. You said we got into this debate because I mentioned graham cracker, and you said that a graham cracker is a cookie, and I said, no, it's a sweet cracker. I call Tawanda. I say, what do you think? She goes, I don't know. I said, ask around at work. She takes a poll. She's asked me twice now, hey, did you tell Joe the results of the poll? She's like, Gramps. I said, no, not yet. She just texted me right as the show was starting.
Make sure he
don't
knows.
Forget to mention the outcome.
So obviously, I lost.
Well, it's, look, 8-7 in favor of cookies.
Oh, so it's
close.
So I'm ahead,
in favor of cracker.
Right, okay. Yes. But I'm saying it's, right, I got you. It's
right.
On the fence.
It, if anything, it just proves it's a good debate question.
Now, one thing, I Googled pretzel, and a pretzel is, in fact, a cracker.
Because somebody, yeah, well,
Tommy.
Okay.
So if we're going to add pretzel, that's on the Rushmore.
Well, clearly, yes. So that's on the
Rushmore. So you can take out wheat then. So in that case, the crackers are going to be saltine.
Yes.
Triscuit, Ritz, and pretzel.
That I agree with that. Robbie?
Yes, I agree with those 100%, and graham cracker is definitely a cracker.
Thank you.
Well, it's not definitely
a
cracker.
And a cheesecake is a pie.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Well,
but what about an animal cracker?
That's a cookie.
That is a cookie.
Yes.
That is a cookie.
Yes, I agree.
So is a graham cracker.
No.
No, that's a cracker.
Okay, whatever.
What's the chat saying? They're saying they've hung up after Restiva. They signed off.
Gramps will get to it in about 40 minutes.
So, by the way, Tawanda said cookie, but then I think later she changed her mind. But her vote was
already. Let me guess, you made an argument.
I think I did make an argument. And now
it's covered in cinnamon sugar. I don't know how it's... There's no other cracker like that.
Right, which makes it sweet. Because, you know, a chocolate chip cookie is sweet without being covered in those things.
Do you know why the graham cracker was invented?
Why do you know?
No.
A guy named Graham invented it to help people stop smoking and drinking.
Did not know that. Has that worked?
I have no idea.
I've never seen someone smoke and eat a graham cracker.
Yes, it's never... Hey, when you got... You might be too young for this.
Mm-hmm.
But when Robbie and I were in kindergarten, you used to get offered, there used to be snack. Do you remember this, Robbie?
What school was this?
Happy Acres. That was the name of our elementary school.
I'm not remembering this.
There was snack time, and you were offered, you could either have orange juice or water. A lot of people didn't drink orange juice because they weren't kids in like pulp.
Right.
And back then, there was no mechanism, apparently, just all filled with pulp. It's like you had to chew your orange juice.
Yeah. A lot of pulp.
I still went with orange juice. And you could get a graham cracker or what was called a soda cracker. So there were kids that were like, you know what? Do you want a cookie or do you want a saltine? And every single kid in the class, graham cracker. There wasn't a single sold, but that was an option every single time. You don't remember that, Robbie?
No, don't remember it.
All right, so we'll take it to the streets. We'll take it to the Twitter, the cracker or cookie.
Jim Amato said, what about Cheez-Its? That did get mentioned, Jim, but what do you want taken out?
Yeah, Cheez-Its is strong. Of course, Eric Woodworth said peanut butter.
Yeah, that annoyed me. He said Ritz on Eric Woodward. By the way, Mount Rushmore is not your favorite.
I know.
Right? If you're doing the Mount Rushmore of soft drinks, you're going to put Coke on there even if you don't like
sure.
it. You're not putting Mr. Pibb on there because it's your favorite. It's the Mount Rushmore. So he said...
Wikipedia calls it a confectionery.
Well, there you go.
I don't even know what that is.
It means it's a cookie.
No.
It does. A cookie falls under the confectionery.
Damn it.
So... Jim Amato now says Ritz crackers belong. Yes, Jim, we've been saying Ritz the whole time.
Ritz, definitely. But what about a Goldfish?
Well, hold on. Then Eric says peanut butter Ritz. So he wants a Ritz and then a peanut butter Ritz on there. This is dumb. Of course, that's not. You can put peanut butter on the Ritz that's already
right.
on the Mount Rushmore, but you're not going to put peanut butter Ritz, cheese Ritz, and then some
Eric is
seasonal Ritz.
He snacks like a 9-year-old. I mean, he likes all kinds of things like that. All right, we've solved the great cracker debate. Moving on. By the way, I like Black Panther a lot. So,
Look, I really enjoyed Black Panther. I really did. It's all, you know what? I'll use, and we won't go into the whole thing. I'll use JL's Wonder Woman argument.
Okay.
Wonder Woman is a really good movie. Black Panther is a really good movie.
I think Black Panther is better than Wonder Woman.
Fair enough. I'm not really necessarily arguing that. What I'm saying is that it isn't the greatest superhero movie of all time. It just made $1 billion.
Right.
It might be. So all we're doing is saying, is it rated, underrated, or overrated, or is it rated appropriately? It's got 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not the greatest superhero movie of all time. It's not.
Of course not.
So that's kind of what JL's argument is.
Yes.
Same as mine. It was fine. It was a fine movie. There might be something else involved in this that I'm not kind of a part of, so I appreciate.
Well, I know what it is. It's that there's this country in Africa where it's the greatest place in the world, and it's all black people, and I think there's some like
it resonates with people.
I understand that.
By the way,
I want to live there too. Looks awesome.
Well, you wouldn't be welcome. Two people that worked with me thought Wakanda was a real place.
Okay. Well, they're stupid.
They go, I saw an airplane with it on the side. I go, that's a joke.
Did they think everything else was true? That they have all this technology and they can...
Well, they didn't know what a Triska was. That's what I was saying. I go, okay, you think Wakanda's a real place? Do you think that they are advanced technologically above every place else in the world? That this place that you just now heard of the
right.
other day?
Yeah.
They really couldn't kind of put two and two together.
Do they think OJ is innocent?
I don't think anybody thinks that now.
I don't know. I went on Twitter last night, and of course, that's the cesspool of idiocy. And it feels like 1 out of 5 comments, they still think he's innocent.
No, that's...
Did you watch it, Robbie?
I didn't see it. No, I heard about it.
Well, I mean, it was ridiculous. And if you don't know what we're talking about, I guess was it 2006 or something? 2004?
What, when OJ happened?
No, when this
interview
happened.
No, I don't know.
So, yeah, I think it's around then. I think it's mid-2000s. This book had been written called If I Did It, and where he was basically going to, hypothetically, if I did kill her, this is what would have happened.
Yeah, and by the way, he it's his book, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I remember watching that 30 for 30 where the Goldmans had wanted... Because they wanted, if they the book came out, that the if was going to be so small that it looked like it said, I did it. And anyway, basically it ended up getting blocked and the book never was published.
Right.
But there was an interview that went along with it. And, you know, they make a big deal. The tapes were lost forever, but
right,
now
right.
they've been found.
Right.
Somebody had them and held on to them probably and made a lot of money selling it.
But I feel like they would have been worth a lot of money whenever they came out.
I mean,
it's the biggest story of the century. And it sounds weird, but...
It is.
This perfect storm of race and fame.
Yes.
And the actual violence of the act.
The car chase, it's unbelievable.
There isn't a movie that's less believable if somebody said, hey, here's what happened. This guy who won the Heisman, and at the time, I believe, I might be wrong about that, only two people ever had run for more than 2,000 yards in a season. He was the first one ever to do it. So he was, at one point, the greatest football player in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And then he was good looking and charming. They put him in movies. He was in that Hertz commercial where he's running through the airport.
He was the greatest football celebrity.
He was beloved by everyone. Yes. And now it wasn't just that he killed his wife. He cut her head off. He cut the head off of her lover. He then had this car chase. By the way, did you watch it? Because I watched it from
100 million people watched it.
I watched it at Chi Chi's in Glen Burnie, which I now live less than a quarter mile from. It's not Chi Chi's anymore. Right. And then I remember so vividly when they came up with the verdict, I remember black people celebrating and white people being like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So they're regardless of whatever we believe, there is a divide. And that was a perfect example where both sides wanted justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
The black people were saying, hey, we've been screwed over by this system for years
and
years.
We want to win. Yeah.
And the idea that the judge or the jury or whatever were unable to indict this man in spite of the color of his skin, they celebrated that.
Yes.
White people, I genuinely believe that they were upset because a murderer had gone free, but maybe that's just my mindset, and there's another place in the world where they didn't like the idea that this black person then got over on our judicial system. Either way, I got it, but it was real. It was a real, the hell of a lot more polarizing than even this Freddie Gray stuff that happened recently. The whole world. I had two close black friends. You know Brian. Do you know Stefan, my friend Stefan? They both thought he was innocent.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, now we move forward, and I guess everybody pretty much assumes that he's guilty, but it doesn't change why people were celebrating back then and why people were
upset.
Well,
we had the documentary, which got nominated for everything. We had the TV show, which won all the Emmys. We have his second court case and going to prison and the parole. And it keeps adding levels, layers to this. Now we have this thing.
How much money does this guy have?
Don't know.
Does he have any money left?
He can't.
How can he? That means he's got to live like in my neighborhood.
Yeah. But this is what I wonder. Do you think there will be another moment? Will there be another OJ moment issue? He's arrested for, you know, assaulting a woman or something, or domestic violence, or he's doing something. He kills himself. Will there be another, other than him just
OJ?
Fading away and dying? Will there be something else?
There has to be.
You feel like it's a matter of time, don't you?
Yeah, there has to be, because two things are going to happen. Either he is going to go insane with guilt, and then that will result in something, or he will, whatever denial or cover up he's going through will also result in something.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, where is his money coming from? That makes him way more accessible to people like you and me.
Well, I think they're not allowed to touch his, because he gets a pension from the NFL.
Yes, there's certain monies that he has that they can't get a hold of.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's getting, is he getting Social Security yet and stuff? And
I don't know. But your Social Security maxes out at $3,000. Yeah. So that means he's making $36,000 a year from his Social Security. That ain't going to pay for much.
It was a very disturbing watch. And
well, no matter what, whether he killed her or didn't kill her, this is an asshole move.
Oh, well, 100%.
He killed her, by the way. Just
but you're right.
No, I'm just saying, it's the worst thing.
It is. It's almost as morally bad as killing her as not killing her and doing this, you know, in a way.
So, real quick, Pool Guy Mark in chat says OJ gets Hall of Fame money. That's not a thing.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
Hall of Fame pay you? I don't believe that to be the case.
Maybe there's some sort of they get a percentage of the people going to the Hall of Fame and paying entry fee.
I don't know. Pool Guy Mark, you better back that up with some facts.
But a couple of the takeaways for me is that he says this in the interview. He talks about at the funeral, because the interviewer asked him, what did you do when you went and you saw Nicole lying there in her coffin or whatever? He said he was still angry at her, saying, why did you I told you, I warned you. So here he is angry.
Warned then, her about what?
About don't push me. Basically, I told you that this, why did you have to do this? Why did you have to, as if it's her fault for making him this angry. That she basically made this bet.
Wow.
Then it came out, and Nicole's friend was there to back this up, that the police had called before saying, hey, OJ's at the gravesite yelling and screaming, causing a scene. He's going to visit her grave angry and yelling and screaming. Like, who does that?
Somebody who killed the person.
Yeah, exactly. A sociopath.
I often thought that OJ had convinced himself that he did not do it. Because somebody who's capable of that type of violence may also be capable of pressing it down. And by the way, people suppress shit, horrible shit that happened in their past all the time. I guess, how else do you cope? But really, he hasn't. He hasn't coped. I mean, he did the Bronco thing. By the way, if you watch the People versus OJ, if you believe that to be the true, he was going to kill himself. He had written letters to everybody. By the way, the People versus OJ, do you know where he was going to kill himself?
No, I forget.
Kim Kardashian's bedroom.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes.
Now, I don't know if that's true.
That's the other part of the story. It's this the whole Kardashian angle. I mean, so many offshoots.
How many people on this planet are more famous than Kim Kardashian in America? I mean, they're not.
Not that many.
Not many.
Right.
And these two worlds collide. She was nothing to do with this story.
Exactly.
But how crazy would it have been? It's already crazy enough that it started there. Who knows if that's true? By the way, in The People versus OJ, she has a picture of one of the new kids on the wall. Kind of funny. I don't know if that's true or not, but I love it.
Well, let's take a break. But when we come back, see, in this show, he basically says, if I did it, mm-hmm. and he talks about, you know, going to Nicole's house and getting angry, and hypothetically, I had the knife, and hypothetically, Ron Goldman showed up, and he wanted to fight me, and hypothetically. So when we come back, hypothetically, Robbie Robinson is going to say something. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello again. It's Gramps back again urging you to join Patreon. Recently, my son Joe revealed that an engagement ring purchase and a proposal are imminent for him. Rob is feeling more pressure than ever. Can you imagine what it will be like at home for Rob once Katie receives that ring? The scowls and the tension will be unbearable. Don't you want him to finally be able to get that ring and propose to? Hasn't that poor woman suffered long enough? Well, you can help. Become a Rob and Joe subscriber on Patreon. Not only will you receive all the great bonus shows and premium content that's causing such a buzz, but you'll also be giving to a good cause, Robin Tawanda's future. How else is he going to afford that ring? He can't even win that $25 prize at Comedy Kumite. And in case you were worried that I might stop hitting on Tawanda, you need not. Nothing can stop me. Engaged, married, those things never get in my way.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So, Robbie, OJ killed his wife and Ron Goldman. And then on this show called If I Did It, he hypothetically walked us through how that might have gone down. So we would like you to hypothetically talk about how you hypothetically cheated at the Bachelor Fantasy game.
Go ahead, Robbie. If you did it.
Hypothetically.
Yes.
I would have a email pen pal relationship with one of the people who works on the show who would be feeding me information.
And would you hypothetically have emailed him asking how did the season go?
Or her.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe even hypothetically just in an innocent sense, just to know if it was particularly interesting without actually asking for details. And then maybe hypothetically, perhaps you suddenly got those details.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how I would do it. Hypothetically. I would search the internet for mm-hmm. what I believe to be the most reliable site.
Yes.
Okay. I would then pull information off of that site and I would ruin the show for myself, the show that I love. I would mm-hmm. ruin it in order to be right with a guy who never watches the show and Rob. And then when accused, I would vehemently deny it, even though mathematically it would be impossible.
See, I would, hypothetically, I would go on Google and I would just, you know, with the upcoming season, Google, you know, Bachelor Season X, whatever. And then a few things would come up and it would say, you know, Bachelor Tell-All. And I'd be like, oh, I'm interested in the behind the scenes things. And then I'd go and read it. And suddenly I'm getting information about what happened and who was picked and this and that
happened. Would you go to a site to see what they had predicted in the past to see how closely they allied with the truth?
And then hypothetically, I would go look at this site and say, is this BS? Or then I'd go back and say, oh, they've been getting it right. And then I would just hypothetically sort of, you know, digest that information. And then I would hypothetically convince myself that those are the same picks I would have made. And therefore, when I picked them, this site was just confirming what I already thought.
Maybe much like OJ, Robbie believes that he's legitimately doing this.
I think so.
Yeah, just like OJ thinks he didn't kill his wife.
Do you think Robbie goes to visit that site and just yells at it?
He's just still pissed.
I wasn't even playing Bachelor Fantasy this past season, and I knew what was happening.
Yeah, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we should talk about my my weekend with Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I did the four shows, two nights. The Borgata, a beautiful casino up in Atlantic City, Friday night, and then the historic Warner Theater Saturday night. And this is now the fourth time that I've worked with Tiffany Haddish. Have I outlined this whole thing before? I don't know.
I don't think you have on right here.
Well, yeah. The first time was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, Arlington Cinema Draft House. And
I think you did it last week because you were there for all her levels of fame, basically.
Exactly. And it wasn't until Magoobies about a year and a half ago that we, you know, actually sort of, you know, exchanged information and talked about working together, and I got her phone number, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, the first two times I worked with her, she was just by herself, no entourage, no management.
Text me that number, we'll call her right now.
And then in VA Beach, after the girls' trip hit, when now she's selling out, that's when she had a road manager with her, or brought her own feature, and I hosted and brought a makeup girl and a hair girl. And these are all girls that she's known for years.
Oh, and she just brought them into basically her entourage.
Right. Now, these girls, not the road manager in this case, that they do this for a living.
They're good at it.
Right.
But they just also happen to be friends.
Exactly.
Right.
So this time, you know, now we're in theaters and now she's, you know, on the Oscars. She's definitely gone, you know, super rising star. This time she had a personal assistant. She had her agents there. So from APA, major agency. So basically her team.
Did you make friends with her personal assistant?
You know, I...
Was it a gay man or a girl?
It was a girl.
Okay.
And I made friends with everyone. Now, her feature, the girl Marlo, woman Marlo, that she was already knew from VA Beach, and then Precious and Dion, her hair and her makeup.
Right.
Women, knew them. They're all super cool, super fun, laid back. So, Borgata, you know, she's got her own green room. I've got basically my green room. And it's definitely, you know, she's got a meet and greet. So I saw her for a second in the beginning, but she's rushed and
right.
You can tell she's tired and she's got to do this whole thing. So now I expected to just, you know, MC host the show. And that's what the manager, her assistant said. I'll host, I'll do 10, I'll bring up her feature, then I'll bring up Tiffany. And then her, I guess Borgata just does it differently. They normally do comedy there, but they talk to her agent and he goes, well, you just do 10 and then be done. All right. So I wouldn't say I'm concerned with how I'm going to do, but it is, you know, I've never done theaters like this. So I've never done, I don't know what the sound's going to be like. Am I going to have to wait for laughter? I'm not particularly concerned that I'm not going to do well, but it is a different animal. So 30 seconds in, I can tell, oh, I'm going to just destroy.
Yeah.
So, you know, boom, crush. So I walk off and I go into my room, green room. And she goes, Rob, and it's Tiffany. So I walk in. She goes, why didn't you bring up Marlo? The feature. I said, they told me just to do 10. She goes, no, I'm paying you to host. I want you to host. I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Yeah.
She said, okay, well, Marlo, because she probably thinks we're tag team and she'll bring me up. And then I said, well, I can come up at the end and thank people. She goes, okay.
So you didn't bring up the other girl?
No. So then I said, okay, well, I'll just come up at the end and thank you. And then the rest of the time I'll host. I go, cool. And then now she's paying me for this, but I don't know when I'm going to get paid. I don't know if
right.
I'm going to get mailed a check from her people. She hands me a check in an envelope. So I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, I get off stage. The girl's handing me the check.
Let me stop
for
a second. So going back to, she wasn't mad. She wasn't upset with you.
No. She was just wondering why I did.
Did you tell her that?
I told her. Her agent told me not to. She goes, no. Just I want you here to host.
Right.
I go, yeah. Done. So
now how did the other girl get on stage?
She the person at the Borgata brought her up.
Okay.
Yeah. So from the side, you know. The Borgata was weird in that they kept saying, all right, well, so you're hosting, so do you want to have two mics? Because then Because the way we do it, it's just tag team, and someone will do a set, they'll walk off with a mic, another guy will walk on with another mic. I'm like, why do we, I don't understand this two mic thing. It's 2 seconds for me to run on stage.
Does anybody walk on the stage with the mic already in their hand? I've never seen that in my life.
Neither did I.
I've seen it at Die Laughing Productions, but I've never seen it.
But apparently that's how they do it. And I'm like, no. I'll just keep the mic in there.
Is there a mic stand there?
Yes.
Hey, what's the fun
with? So they said, okay. So they ended up loving me, by the way. So then I get off stage and her agent's like, oh, that was so funny. Cause you know, they're in the green, but they're watching me on the monitor and they're quoting my lines and stuff. And then we start talking about, just, you know, the white dress. And I give them ideas about what to do with that. And we're riffing on things.
You're a creative meeting.
Exactly. I feel like I'm part of this whole thing. So, the agent's wife is there and they have the family in town, a couple nieces. So we're all hanging out. Anyway, the late show, another crush, and it's just, look, I this is kind of my wheelhouse. You know, I'm 10 minutes, I have my jokes that crush in front of a black audience.
Yeah, no, you got yourself in a nice little situation where it's going to be hard for you to, the only way that you're going to not do well is if the crowd is so dead and it's your job to kind of let them know there's a comedy show. That's never going to happen in a venue of that size.
No.
Yeah.
With what they're paying and how badly they want to see Tiffany, when the show starts, they're not excited necessarily for me. They're excited that now they're closer to seeing Tiffany.
Yeah, they're excited.
And once they realize I'm funny, then they're happy.
Yeah.
So it ends up, it's a really good night for me because I do well in front of the management. I do well in front of everybody. Then afterwards, we play blackjack with the agent's wife and two nieces. I win money there. There's these obnoxious guys sit down at our table. And the one guy at the far end, he's sort of a douchebag, but he's kind of harmless, but he's annoying, but you can tell he's drunk. He's a regular, he knows everybody. There's another guy behind us, really annoying. The one guy in the corner leaves. The other guy stays. Turns out they're not together. They just looked like the exact same white guy,
right?
You would have swore they were the same guy. And this guy's right behind me and one of the nieces yelling positive things.
Why is he there rooting on people
hammered.
He doesn't know?
He's hammered.
Okay, that's weird.
And it doesn't bother me at first because I'm winning. I'm on a real hot streak.
But let me jump in. I've never, and I've played a lot of blackjack, seen anybody walk up to a table and stay and root for people at a table he doesn't know.
Yes, he's rooting. He's also yelling weird things like double down on 18. He's rooting 17.
Well, that's kind of funny.
17 always wins. I have a 17. The dealer has an 8 showing. I'm like, I don't feel that confident. But anyway, but I kept winning. So
he was right.
Right. But eventually I hit blackjack and he comes right in my ear and he goes, congratulations. And I'm like, I said, can you back off? And the dealer's like, is he with you? I goes, no, he's not with us. They go, oh, I thought he was with you. So they say, tell him to back off. He won't. Now I'm pushing him away.
Oh, you're physically pushing
him? Yes, because I'm like, dude, stop touching me. And it turns out I end up being like the hero because I'm protecting
the niece.
You're
the only person in the niece. You're talking about the niece of?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So I crush in front of the crowds. Tiffany hands me a check.
She goes back and is telling her aunt the story where the host protected me against this drunk guy. Okay.
Yes, so I'm just winning on all fronts, and I win money. So
when did you peek in that envelope, Rob?
Right, I went in the green room and opened it right away. Yeah,
what kind of number was on there?
I'm not going to talk about that, but it's it's a lot more than you get paid to normally.
It was OJ
do.
Money.
It's a lot more than you get paid to normally MC.
Is it the most you ever got for MCing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I end up. For what seemed like it could have been a wild drunken night, it wasn't because I didn't drink at all till the very end, and then I go to bed at 3 a.m. And
now was she gambling, Tiffany?
No, they took a van right afterwards to go to the DC hotel because they wanted to get there, just so they didn't do anything afterwards. So the agent's wife and niece they stay, but the people in the party, the group.
Right.
So then I go home, I pick up Tawana, we go to the Warner Theater. We get a hotel, actually, because in case we got drunk and crazy. And the Warner Theater is, it's just a beautiful theater. And every show starts with this guy reading the announcements. Basically, the big thing in this is don't use cell phone, don't shoot video.
Right.
And they use a line, or you'll be immediately ejected.
Okay.
And whenever he says that, the crowd goes, what? So I walk out and just like shit on that. Immediately ejected. They don't fuck around. You're going to fly out of your seat. You're going to be in Baltimore. Yeah. So I'm immediately crushing. Then I just, all I have to say is, what's up, black people? What's up, white people in the corner where you should be? Laughter. If shit goes down, I'm on their side. Wakanda forever. Applause break. Right, like, right, I'm right, Tony right. Black Panther, and I'm just, they're eating out of my hand. So it's just amazing.
Did you say give it up for the troops? I guess
I mean, it's basically, like,
if I was pandering like hell.
If I'm at a Trump rally, it was basically that.
Right, right. Make America great again.
Exactly.
Everybody goes crazy.
It's, so it's just crush city. So Tawana comes to the late show. She walks into Tiffany's green room. I'm like, I don't know. Could she be in here? Well, immediately, it's like when guys talk and there's a sports game on and they just start talking.
Right.
Well, that's what her, like, they're talking about shoes and now they're just best friends.
Right,
forever.
Right. Well, that's good. Yeah. Now, had she met Tawana before?
She had met her at Magoobie's, but they, her and all the hair and makeup people, they all love Tawana.
Right.
She's just part of the family. So, and it was cool because at one point during the weekend, I jokingly said something to Tiffany about, oh, I don't know how to be act around you now. She goes, no, Rob, don't ever say that. You know it's me. I love you. We're family. Don't ever say that. And then after the final show, her feature says, you know, like, you did this, Tiffany. Like, you sold out the Wonder Theater. She goes, no, we did this. We're doing this as a team, which is not true. She
That's
did
true.
This.
No, you brought one person.
Yes.
Yeah, so you were a part of that.
Right. But she said that. And so she's definitely, you know, wants to take care of the people
yeah,
that
no,
she started
obviously,
with
yeah.
and grew up with and likes and loves.
So
and,
let's rank. These are the Rob celebrity friends and
yeah.
their influence. So we got David Koechner.
Yes.
Tommy Davidson.
Who texted me today, as a matter of fact.
He probably caught wind of Tiffany Haddish. He's probably jealous.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, to a lesser extent. And, yeah. And okay, so there's your four.
Wait a second. He has Dave Chappelle's phone number.
Well, no, but
he
that's
does not have Kevin Hart's phone number.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Stop. I'm talking about people that he's performed. Basically, they have paid him to do comedy.
Yes.
That's essentially what's happened in these four. They brought
Correct.
You on. You were chosen
yes.
for the Kevin Hart thing. David Koechner has brought you on shows with him.
Yes.
Tommy Davidson has brought you on shows with him. Tiffany Haddish has brought you.
Yeah.
Okay. Rank them in terms of how important and what you think it means to your career. And I'm pretty sure I know what number one is going to be because it's new, but...
Well, it's Tiffany definitely number one.
Right.
Because she's, you know, Kevin Hart has... guys that go on the road with him. Like the guy that created Heart of the City is one of his guys that he mm-hmm. went on the road with. So that's like now his, you know, he started his own production label, which Tiffany has done as well.
Right.
So I'm sure she has designs on doing, you know, creating her own content and shows and maybe having at the minimum, an online channel like Kevin Hart has. So look, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but it's not unrealistic to think that I might have ability to pitch and say things and they might be able to get, you know, made.
Yeah. I was listening to this podcast that you recommended for me called Origins.
Yes. You liking it?
I love it. And I'm listening to the show about the creation of Pardon the Interruption, right? And they were talking about these creative meetings that they all got in the room and they're all throwing ideas out. And the first thing I thought about is, like, you and I have had this kind of meetings. Like, we went to Bertucci's and we basically wrote all
Sing
of the Sing For Your Life. Yeah. So we've had that. But I was just thinking, and I know I mentioned this. Did I mention it off air or on the bonus show where I wake up at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come over and you do the show. And creatively, we always want to get together after the show, but I'm done.
Yeah, you're tired.
I have nothing. I literally come up with almost nothing when that's when we decide to write. So I'm very jealous of the idea of you sitting around with Tiffany Haddish and her people and throwing out ideas.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't want to over, you know, step my boundaries or my bound, whatever the term is. But look, I do think I have good ideas, and I think I'm good at that.
No, you do have good ideas.
It's funny. They, we'll tell that story another time. But there's anyway, it was... I'm still on a high from it, to be honest. Just performing in that theater is cool. Performing in front of that crowd that was just so amped and just ready and jacked and just, you know, even when you're just introducing her and they're cheering and going crazy and you feel that wave and that, you just feel that love. You know, I know, you know, it's not for you, but you feel it. So, and you know, after the first show at the Warner Theater, I'm going to say thank you, good night. They turn the house lights up. I pull out my phone. I start taking pictures. She's using these pictures now. I text them to all her people. Same thing, late show. So now I'm giving her people and her whole team all these pictures and all this that she's already tweeted out. It's my handiwork, Robbie.
All right, all you got to do is get her in the murder mystery.
That's all we have to do. Shouldn't be that hard. Robbie just wants her on the podcast to ask awkward questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. But it was fantastic. I'll be with her again at Richmond this Friday night at the Carpenter Theater. Two shows. So if you're in that area, I think there's actually still some tickets. But
and if you're in Vienna, Virginia, you can come see Sing for Your Life, starring Justin Schlegel, Joe Robinson, Sean Gabbert, Eric Woodworth, Tommy Sabato, Frankie French.
Hopefully.
Katie Push.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's on sound, Robbie.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot.
Katie on sound. I love it.
Oh, no.
Can I ask you a question, Rob? Do you see a small walk-on part for you in one of her upcoming movies?
I have no idea. I know that she's recording. She's shooting a movie and a TV show this summer in New York. She'll be in New York all summer.
That's easy for you.
Yeah, that's easy for her. She's got a Netflix special, so I know she's going to do another tour. I know they want to do, they want to do more theater, so I know they like me. I'd love to be on the team.
Has she seen your reel?
You know what? I showed the Funny and Five. I didn't show it. I mentioned it to her agent. He said it sounded like a good idea, and then I think I might show him the little 90
second tease.
Yeah,
don't show him that.
Really?
Show him the flu spot.
Jesus, Robbie. Okay.
I don't know what that is.
It's my commercial. Yeah. with the chainsaw. Advice from Robbie Robinson. So this show had it all. We had Restivo and Haddish, two comic giants.
Chris was hilarious today.
Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.